Good evening, good morning to everyone who has joined this call. We are very pleased to invite all of you to this earnings update call that has been scheduled exclusively for debt investors of Adani Transmission Limited. This is going to be for the quarter two or the first half of FY23 earnings that has been released recently by the company. With us, we have Mr. Anil Sardana, who is the Managing Director and CEO of Adani Transmission. Joining him is Mr. Kandarp Patel, MD and CEO Distribution Business, Mr. Bimal Dayal, who is the CEO of Transmission Business, Rohit Soni, CFO of Adani Transmission, Mr. Kunjal Mehta, CFO of AEML, and Mr. Anupam Mishra, Group Corporate Finance Head. With this, I will pass it on to Mr. Anil for his remarks.
No, thank you, Akshay, and welcome to all the friends for the Q2 FY23 call. While the results are there with you, I would just very quickly go through some of the highlights. Starting with the operational highlights, I'm very happy to report that we commissioned during the quarter one of the largest substations, which is going to be a hub for evacuation of renewable power in Gujarat, located in the northwest part of Gujarat, and actually an interconnect between largest renewable potential area of Gujarat as well as largest potential area of Rajasthan in the southwestern part there. 765 kV, 400 kV and 220 kV parts within it, and therefore it is one of the biggest hub from that perspective. We need to have included that in the portfolio of the other assets that we had commissioned in Q1, and the pipeline of readiness and commissioning will continue. We have a healthy order book with us. We also have a stream of projects that are waiting to be bid out. It's close to about 250 billion rupee worth of projects which are waiting to be bid, waiting for the issue related to extinct Great Indian Bustard to linked with the transmission system by the Supreme Court of India. It's in the last phases of being resolved basis the proceedings that have taken place between the different stakeholders. Once that is done, the projects that have already got the RFQ settled go into the RFP bidding mode, and pipeline will then set into motion. Clearly, the pipeline with regard to distribution privatization has again kick-started with the announcement of Puducherry Union Territory by Government of India, as also the second license bid that we have started to port. We have done so in the Kutch area, where we are extending the existing distribution.
Call is being held by the other party. Wait for a moment.
Hello?
Yes, please go ahead, sir.
Okay. So we are pursuing the second license bit in our existing license area in the western part of India, which is in Gujarat. That's one bid, and the second one, we have applied for second license contiguous to our existing license in Mumbai, which is popularly known as Navi Mumbai. And we will have more announcements to follow in the days ahead with regard to the second license work that we have been pursuing, as we had announced in the previous quarter. That's on the distribution plan. Moving on to the quarter that went by, we have registered stability as well as the other operational parameters which are benchmarked in terms of the fact that we have crossed the availability plateaus both for transmission as well as distribution in terms of the threshold for incentives. Also, our distribution loss registered at the end of the quarter is 1%. The units sold in the distribution area were enhanced thanks to the low base of the last year. Therefore, one could manage the revenue gap quite decently because of the higher sales that came our way. Moving on to the ESG quest of transmission, we are one of those utilities which have very openly mentioned that we will not only stay on course, but stay very sincerely committed to net zero targets to be accomplished much before announced date of 2050, and will not wait for this to be seen in the longer horizon term, but visible in the shorter term, and therefore we put the money where the mouth is in terms of the fact that the retail distribution business is going to source its bulk supply from the green portfolio, which is moving from 3%, which was the case before, to larger number going up to 50% by 2025 or before, 60% by 2027 or before. That's one. In addition, we have taken a lot of other initiatives in terms of the water neutrality in our projects, the waste neutrality in different projects, making sure that we reduce our scope 1 and scope 2 greenhouse gas emissions significantly, also more than a quarter in terms of scope 3 greenhouse emissions. Most of our establishments are already single-use plastic free, and therefore our quest to ESG is absolutely discernible and benchmarked. And to that effect, we have also decided that we will continue to get ourselves accredited from external global agencies from time to time. Very happy to inform that we have done so, and S&P Global has just issued score, which is almost double of the global utility average, which is fantastic to receive, and we will make sure that we consolidate that and move Tire to be within the top performing utilities on ESG ranking across the globe. So we are not just leaving it within the India where we have already put the highest, but we want to now give ourselves the target of being the top performing utility with regard to ESG scores. That's where we are pushing this entire attribute. To some of our fiscal discipline and the other aspects, very quickly mentioning that the debt service coverage ratio by virtue of our internal discipline continues to be steady at 1.8. The debt to EBITDA is lower than 4.5. It's at 4.4, the end of half year. And net debt to net worth is 2.2. So we will continue to maintain the fiscal discipline, stay on course to be investment grade, and ensure that our forward on net debt is in tune with our growth trajectory and sustainable earnings. The regulated asset base for Mumbai assets is 55 billion rupees, and the regulated equity out of that is 44 billion rupees. Regulated debt is 30 billion rupees. So that's the way it's progressing. And of course, on the result side, we have the one-off which is in the distribution business, where our sustainability linked bond been hedged through options rather than the forward cover, as per the accounting standards, we are supposed to mark that to market price the quarter. We do get non-cash entry, you know, but most of the people who don't understand this will call the PAT as 1.94 billion rupees, whereas it is actually 3.38 billion rupees because the non-cash entry shows it as depressed. But if you look at the cash profit, which is what matters to us, that's 7.48 billion rupees compared to 6.9 billion rupees for similar quarter last year. So cash at hand, more PAT actually earned. The EBITDA numbers, etc., have also grown during the quarter. So that's the initial marks from my side. I'll be happy to answer your questions, and I'm supported by my two senior CEO colleagues, both for transmission and distribution businesses, who are here with me in the call. And we will be happy to take your questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. If you change your mind, please press star followed by two. When preparing to ask your question, please ensure your phone is unmuted locally. If you're streaming via a web browser, kindly press the Q&A button and type in your question. We now have our first question from Bharat Shatiga from Standard Charter. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks a lot for the call.
Hi.
Thanks for the call. I had a few questions. Firstly, in the Mumbai business, just want to understand the regulatory decision. What's the timeline for that? And if I see, I think over the last 2.5 years, under recovery is probably around 1,800 crores or so. So what kind of tariff hikes will be required to recoup the under-recoveries?
Kandav, would you take that?
Sure, sir. So as per the regulatory MYT regulation, a tariff is usually determined for 5 years. And currently, we are into the third year of that tariff determination. We have to file that midterm review, which is to be filed by the end of this month. And based on that numbers, Commission will reset the tariff for remaining 2 years. For 1,800 crore revenue gap accumulated since last 2 years, impact would be around 1 rupee for balance 2 years. In any case, currently there is a FAC recovery which is allowed by Commission to the extent of 1 rupee, which we have been recovering since July. We expect that there will not be a significant change once the tariff is redetermined considering this revenue gap. We have been able to contain the revenue gap very, very significantly at a very significantly low level as compared to many other DISCOMs. Because of our prudent power purchasing strategy, that entire 700 megawatt hybrid contract that we did 2 years back, the power supply has commenced and that power is coming at the price of 3.25 rupees. So that has significantly helped. The second positive thing that has happened here is in AEML, in the current year, the increase in sale as compared to last year is about 19%, and it is also above the sale that was approved by Commission during MYT prior to COVID. We have also surpassed that particular level. Therefore, we expect that the revenue gap will further reduce going forward in a natural way because of increase in sale.
Sure, sure. This is helpful. The question is on the cash flow statements for the first half. If I look at the consolidated cash flow statements, there is a trade receivables increase of, I think, about 625 crores. And there is also a it's current loan given of, I think, 496 crores. Can you help explain why these outflows have happened?
Hi, this is Rohit here. So I'll go line by line. So the first question is, you asked about the debtors increase. With the debtors increase, we had the new lines which were commissioned in the state of Uttar Pradesh, where the power flow has not happened and it's under deemed commission. So there is a temporary cash flow mismatch for which we have gone to the regulatory body to get the money due. To give a comfort, that would be with the delayed payment surcharge. So that is progressing. We had hearing yesterday with positive outcome. So we are optimistic that would get, into cash in, say, next 3 to 5 months. So that's on the data side. Second questions which you had asked was on advances. So we had announced it earlier that we are in process of acquisition of SR Mahan transmission line. In line with the agreement which we have with them, we have paid 470 crores as advance as part of the deal, which is secured against the assets. So that's part of the M&A strategy which we are pursuing.
Thank you very much. We now have our second question from Love Shamar of Bloomberg Odier. Please go ahead.
Hi, Rohit. Hi. Thanks, management. Thanks for the call and the update. I just wanted to get a sense about the Mumbai business. It seems like despite, I think, the fuel charge pass-through, the EBITDA has still not recovered. So can you just elaborate how, and I think given that what you mentioned on the tariff hike in the future, also for the next 2 years, it's unlikely to be that significant. How do we expect the EBITDA trajectory for this business for the next 2 years?
Kanda?
Sure.
Please.
Yeah, sir, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah, as you know, the FAC recovery has started from July 2022, and the regulatory gap at the beginning of the year was 1,122 crores. And during this half year, we have added 608 crores, generally during Q1. From Q2, because of the recovery of the FAC, there has not been any increase on the regulatory gap. Because of this FAC which has been allowed. Therefore, there will not be any significant additions to the regulatory gap going forward. Going forward, the regulatory gap will only reduce. Further, because of this MYT order which is going to get passed, it will further become of a permanent nature where we will be able to recover the regulatory gap. So in terms of the number, 2022 was at the beginning of the year. Q1, we added 535 crores. In Q2, we added only 73 crores. Total, we have added 608 crores. So Q1, 535, Q2, 73 crores only.
Okay, understood. And just to understand, when you say that the fuel pass through, the fuel surcharge which you're passing through, there is a limit to that, I believe. Is that 1 rupee?
Yes, there is a limit. But that has been accepted by the regulator and has been accepted by the customer since it is only just 10% over the existing tariff to the consumers, and the consumers have accepted that since last 4 or 5 months.
Understood. And then when you get the mid-year review, and then from next year, next financial year, when you have the revised tariff for the remaining 2 year period, will there be any additional tariff which the regulator can approve on top of this 1 rupee, or will it be inclusive of this?
It will be inclusive of this, basically. FAC is just a temporary measure to ensure that the whatever regulatory gap on account of the sudden increase in power purchase is there, not held back or is not allowed to be built up, but to pass it on to the consumer. When the actual tariff order is passed, it will take into consideration everything, not only the the fuel price, but also the consumption part, and then it will be. So the utility tariff which will get approved by the year end will include the FAC as well.
Understood. Okay. Understood. Got it. And I think just on the working capital question, can you just elaborate more on the receivables increase? I didn't fully understand the. You mentioned some of the project in UP where you had.
Let me.
Do, is that right?
Let me handle about the receivable part. So,
sure.
Receivable is not on account of the distribution business. It's on account of the transmission business.
Correct.
In the transmission business, we had commissioned. The later part of the last financial year, assets in state of Uttar Pradesh. Assets were called Ghatampur Transmission Limited and Obra Transmission Limited. These assets linked to the generating assets on their side, which have not got commissioned from UP side. Therefore, these have been declared as deemed commission. While we are entitled to the charge, transmission charge, they, because of the fact that the asset had not got commission from their side, therefore they have not paid us, we went to the regulatory commission asking for the amount to be paid along with late payment surcharge. Hearing was held yesterday. The regulatory commission instructed those entities be geared up to make this payment along with late payment surcharge. So we will liquidate this amount before the end of this financial year.
Understood. And how much is this amount, if you could share?
The current receivables that you see, it's 2.5 billion rupees, if I recall.
2.5 billion rupees. Okay. Okay. But your receivables increase was still much more. I mean, close to around 6 billion.
So similarly, it's for one of the assets which is in Maharashtra, which also is getting resolved in the similar way.
Okay, so similar situation there as well.
But these are all transmission related. There's nothing, no receivable Understood. From the distribution side.
Understood. Okay, and one last question for me. I think the equity
transmission since happens by virtue of the tariff-based competitive bidding. Therefore, we are completely assured of the first right on
getting this.
The charges from the O&M cost itself.
Okay. Nothing that's useful. And I think just another question on the equity proceeds which you received in April and May, $500 million. Can you just elaborate the use of how that money has been utilized so far? Because I believe there was this perpetual which is outstanding to the promoter group which has been repaid. And I believe that probably seems to be the major use. But if you want to do is understand if there is anything else which you have done with those equity proceeds.
Yeah. So we as you remember, we got from IHC 38.5 billion rupees, out of which we spent to return the PERP, which is what the conditions were in terms of quasi equity or equity money. We returned 30.75 billion rupees as the return of the PERP. Balance is being used for the growth.
Okay. So essentially, there was no other debt repayment, right, on using that?
No.
Okay, understood. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We now have our next question from Rahul Bhatt from 91. Please go ahead.
Hi. Yeah. Thank you for the call and the answers so far. Just a very quick one on the tariff. So, can you remind me when the new tariffs will come in place for the Mumbai distribution?
Application is to be filed by the end of this month. New tariff will be announced by Regulatory Commission before March of 23. That tariff will be applicable for 2 years. It will determine tariff for next two financial years.
Okay, so from April 23 onwards, you'll start getting the new tariffs.
Correct.
Maybe till 2025.
Understood. And so this will also take in, other than the fuel, the higher fuel cost, it will also take into account that, you know, electricity demand has been more than what was originally expected. And so it'll take a holistic view on everything to get. So by the end of FY25, you expect the regulatory position receivable to go to zero. Is that fair?
Correct. Precisely.
Okay, perfect. Then just a couple of other questions. So on the funding plans, could you give me an update on the CapEx plans for Adani Mumbai Electricity, and also how that is, how do you plan to fund it? It does not seem like the dollar bond market is, I would assume that you would not come to the dollar bond market where bonds are trading. So what other options did you have? If you could please talk about that.
Our annual capex guidance is roughly around 15 to 20 billion for the next 2 to 3 years annually. So at the current financial year, we'll roughly be estimated capex is of about $15 billion. If you see that this entire capex during the current financial year has been spent through our internal accruals and our surplus cash balances that we have. We have not raised any debt during the current financial year. And therefore, the debt at the beginning of this financial year and at the end of this financial year will be identical. That's one of the precise reasons why we are saying is that we will ensure that our financial discipline is maintained.
Okay, but for like, you know, next year and the year ahead, the CapEx plans, and I remember when I last spoke to you, you said, sometime next year might want to come to the market and raise some, you know, new debt. But if market conditions do not improve, then do you have other sources of funding?
Yeah, so the company basically continues to have strict financial discipline, and therefore it will ensure investment grade rating. And because of such ratings, it has access to diverse set of investors and capital sources requirements, both internationally as well as domestically. So at that right time, basis the market conditions, the company would design its funding strategy, which could be a combination of various things, including internal sources and internal accruals.
I think, Kunjal, it is important to also reemphasize the fact that in the distribution business, we get a pass-through once the schemes get approved for CAPEX. So once the regulator approves these schemes for CAPEX investment, then the cost of funding gets completely absorbed in the annual revenue requirement rate fixation. So that distribution perspective is therefore completely absorbed. Yeah.
Understood. So even if you suppose come and raise a new 10-year bond at, you know, let's say 10-11%, that will entirely be passed through, and so you're not really price sensitive. Is that the right takeaway?
No, we won't ourselves do that. But yes, today if the distribution companies across India raising that level, the regulators are looking at that pragmatically. I don't want to hypothesize to assume that we will also source at that expensive price.
So I think, Rahul, to come in, from this side, just to come in here, I think from our perspective, we are very clear, like Kunjal mentioned, that we will continue to pursue our capital management plan, which ensures that our projects are fully funded. And in respect to the market, the bond market, and looking at the volatility in the market, I think there are other avenues the bank market, the domestic onshore market as well. And more importantly, in case if the rates are remain heightened, I think we can always have a liquidity profile. The company has enough cash buffer as well to ensure that for us, the most important thing to do in a market condition like this is to ensure that our liquidity position remains extremely strong and solid. And if there is a requirement to pump in equity, both the shareholders are also open to that as well. So from that perspective, just to answer your question, no, we will not be raising money if the prices remain extremely heightened. We will continue to explore other alternatives, but the business will not suffer. All the capex that has to be done, that capex will be completed.
Okay, thank you. That was comforting. And two other just probably small questions on Dhano. Can you update, like, the PPA from memory was ending, I think, 2024 or 2025. What are the plans for the PPA? And can you remind me on, like, the disconnection plans for Dhano? And the last one was on the renewable purchase obligation. It seems, from memory, you're still below the renewable purchase obligation of Maharashtra. Is there any penalty for not meeting it? Or is it just the guidance, the RPO?
JP?
Yeah, so to answer the last question first, we are already at a 21% level as far as renewable contribution is concerned for the year so far. On date, we are buying almost 31-32% renewable energy. By the end of year, we will be about 33%. This jump has happened because that entire 700 megawatt has now commissioned, started supplying the contracted power. And this is well above the RPO that has been prescribed by MERC. In fact, with this additional renewable, we're also going to meet the shortfall of the past year that we accumulated. So going forward, meeting RPO will not be an issue. Well, we are also coming out, MERC has approved our proposal to carry out bidding for purchase of 1,000 megawatt RERTC power. That will bring additional 50% of 1,000 megawatt in terms of renewable power, the minimum requirement. It can be higher as well. Balance would be a thermal one. And once we have that bidding process done and contracting done, we will not be requiring Dhanu to that extent, and therefore we cannot approach a regulatory commission for extension of the PP.
So the current PPA, can you remind me, when does it expire?
The current PPA is expired in 2023. When we petitioned this commission for a purchase of additional 1,000 megawatt, that supply will commence in 2025. Commission has allowed us to continue Dhanu till 2025.
Understood. And so the new bidding that you have, do you plan to do it yourself with Dhanu plus renewables, or is it going to be from a third party?
So it is open bidding. Anyone who has the capability of supplying RERTC power will be participating.
But do you plan to participate as well?
So the AEML certainly not, because we don't have a renewable capacity, okay. But obviously the AGL and other company could participate.
Okay, understood. And then just last one, actually, I remembered. So on the use of proceeds from the equity raise, you took out the perps at the ATL level, but the AEML level also has these subordinated loans from QIA. And how do you think about that in your capital structure? Is that like a permanent part of the capital structure, or is that also going to be, and then the plan for it is similar to what you did at the ATL level?
Yeah, still about 2027-28, there are no such plans with respect to the takeout of the sub-debt. I think there's a 5-year lock-in as well. It came in 2020 and there's a 5-year lock-in as well. So there are no such immediate plans with respect to taking out of the shareholder subordinated debt from QIA.
Understood. Okay, thank you very much, guys.
Thank you. We now have some text questions from our online participant. Our first online text question comes from an online participant. The question is, in the first half of 2023 results, there is an INR 5 billion loan given. Can I ask which entity did the company give the loan to? Also, can you break down the CapEx? How much is for transmission and how much is for distribution? Thank you.
So I think we answered this question where we said that how the debtors have gone up by 5 billion rupee and the advance what we had given for the SR transaction. So it's a repeat of what we have already answered. If we can proceed to the next question, please.
No problem. Our next question comes from an online participant. There are three parts of this question. The first part is, could you please explain the increase of gross debt from March 2022 despite equity infusion? Can you highlight what is the gross debt target through fiscal year 2023?
Okay. So we answered it partly. So the equity infusion of 3850 crores has gone for retirement of the perpetual equity what we had from the group. So that has been retired off. And the balance money, which is close to 7 billion rupees, that is available for the growth which we are pursuing.
Thank you. And the second part of this question is, given the capital expenditure incurred, could you highlight why EBITDA is only marginally up from the fourth quarter of fiscal year 2022?
If you see the EBITDA profile, when you compare year on year, on the transmission, what you see, there is an increase of at least 16% on the revenue, increase of around 100 crores. In rupee terms. And if you see major of the projects what were underway, two of the heavy duty projects, which is LBTL, Sakarya Banaskata, which I think Sadhanasa mentioned got commissioned in quarter two. And then we also have WRSS, which is Western Region Strengthening System project, which also got commissioned in the month of October. So two of the heavy projects got commissioned in last 2 months, which will start accruing the revenue and which would be clearly evident in quarter three onwards.
Thank you. And the third and the last part of this question, could you please provide details on the INR 500 credit increase in loans and advances? Which company has this money been lent to and what is the expected payment profile? Has rating agencies comment on this cash leakage? Thank you.
I mean, there's no cash leakage. It's a repeat of the question. This is for the M&A growth opportunity, what we're looking. What we had announced earlier for the SR Mahan acquisition as part of the agreement, we have paid 470 crores. So that is the investment what we have done. This is part of our growth profile and it's already factored in by the rating agencies.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Pav Pala of Goldman Sachs. Gross debt excluding subordinate debt has gone up from INR 278 billion in March to INR 312 billion, increase of almost $440 million. Do we expect the increase in ST debt to normalize in the second half? And do we expect more debt increase for fiscal year 2023 given substantial increase in the first half? Thank you.
This question we have partly answered. To give a better clarity, the movement on the sub-debt, 278 billion to 312 billion, is an account of mark-to-market forex fluctuation, which we do in line with our accounting standards. In dollar terms, the debt remains the same, so there is no movement on the debt front. So it's just because of the mark-to-market adjustments. On the short-term front, I think Kunjal had mentioned very clearly that we have not added anything to the revenue account deficit in this quarter. So the cash flows are holding strong, and we see that further liquidation happening in the forthcoming quarters, quarter three and quarter four.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Tae Ho Lee of MetLife. I understand ATL is in process of getting S&P ratings for ATSOL and the USD bonds. Could you share an update on the progress and what ATL thinks about this likelihood of closing the understanding gap between the company and the rating agency? Thank you.
I'll just answer it as short as possible. I think we did an engagement with all our investors 15 days back. We had committed that we would pursue this engagement with S&P at a portfolio level. So those discussions have started and the discussions are going on. It will take some time for both sides to conclude. So the discussions are going on and we'll update once we have major part of it closed. That is where the progress is.
Thank you. Our next question comes from an online participant. How much is the total debt, cash and ICD at AEML level? What are the key components of working capital built up in the first half, and when do we see that unwind? Thank you.
Kunjal?
The total gross debt remains the same, which is 1,300 million comprising of the two bonds that we have. 282 million is the subordinated debt. The total working capital debt was 1,100 crores in June. It has been reduced to 900 crores by September. And because of the FAC recovery in through the tariff, we expect that this also would be paid down by the end of this financial.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Anderson Dong of PIMCO. Are UP and Maharashtra asset with working capital issues in Obligor Group? Could you share the status of litigation with relevance infrastructure? Does company plan to further raise equity, and does company plan to buy back Obligor Group and Adani Electricity Mumbai bonds at 9 to 10% yield at dollar terms? Thank you.
I'll answer in parts. I think UP, what we had spoken, is not part of the Obligor Group. It's a separate legal entity. So they are not part of the Obligor Group. Yes, Maharashtra, which is the MEGPDCL and sections of the line, they come under the Obligor Group working capital. So we see an increase in the working capital, which we are committed that we will work for liquidation by quarter three, quarter four. Various actions have been initiated on those front. I think the second question what you would ask was the status on litigation with Reliance infrastructure. That litigation is going on. Both sides are making their claims. We'll have the first round of hearings coming in this quarter, but that's too early a stage at this point of time to even talk about. I think the claims are like crazy numbers at this point of time. So the engagements have started, and we'll see the hearings happening in this forthcoming quarter.
And just to clarify, I think when Rohit says that the claims are crazy numbers, what he means is that the claims we have completely, they are baseless claims in our assessment, and therefore we do not expect any material impact on the cash flows or the position of ATL. But this is going to be an arbitration process, and from a timeline perspective, it may take some time. To the third question that was raised on the liquidity management, I think in case there is any decision that we take on that, we will make an announcement and we'll reach out to the investors to update them. As on this stage, as of this time, we are evaluating all the options. We are looking at the situation in the markets very, very closely. But there are no announcements that we have for you at this stage.
Thank you. We now have a question from Love Shamar of Lombard Oblier. Please go ahead.
Hi. Just one follow-up. I think on the hedging side, could you just remind what is the hedging structure used for both the ATL bonds and also the EML2 AML bonds?
I'll take that question, Love. I mean, so if I take, we do 100% hedging of the dollar liability, what we have at ATL and AEML. If you take in the ATL, the instruments which we have used are like US and CCS, which is like forwards, which we have used. And basis that, you take a forward cost into your financial, which is more steady kind of thing. And in case of Adani Electricity, we also use similar instrument, but for a small section where we used options as an instrument, which was done, say, 2 years back, where the option premium versus the rupee depreciation versus the forward premium, the option instrument made sense given the cash flows and the likely cost of that in the next 5 years. So we used option as an instrument. This instrument looks very good even today, if you consider the 5 year period in which it is. But because of the mark to market adjustments required from the accounting standards, what we follow, the financials carry the impact of mark to market. Otherwise, these both the instruments are very effective when it comes to taking the hedging for our dollar bonds, what we have at both the company levels.
So, Rohit, if I could confirm, the when you say 100%, that's the principal, right, on both the ATL bonds and also the AEML bonds. But
yeah,
part of the
so we do the
is by options, right?
We do the hedging of the principals 100% either through forwards or options. We also do hedging of our 1 year interest, which is due for the going forward year also. So they are 100% hedged.
Okay. So 1 year, okay, that will be also a forward, right, for 1 year forward interest.
Correct.
Okay, and then on the option, can you just remind which bond is used? I think it's only for the sustainability bond. Can you mention what
So we have done it for the sustainability bond of $300, and also the sub debt, which is in dollar currency. So we used it for both of them.
Okay, and what percentage of those, or is it full, the entire 100%?
100%, $300 million of the sustainability bonds, and $282 million of the sub-debt, so close to $580 million.
Okay. Got it, and just last question on this, what would be the threshold? I mean, what kind of structure is this? Is this, you know, protection till a point or beyond a point?
It's protection beyond a point. So I'm not giving the number here, but I mean, it's protection beyond a point. So you get capped at the moment you hit a point, and if you compare the forward premiums versus the option premiums, they would nullify over a 5 year window.
Okay, understood. Okay,
thanks, Lam.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Baraji Shatiga of Standard Charter. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. And apologies, my line got cut off earlier. One follow-up question is with respect to the FSE, which you said has been implemented from July. But if I look at the ATL consolidated income statement, the revenue for the September quarter is actually flat to slightly lower than the June quarter. So I'm just wondering, this FSE implementation from July, why is it, or how is it getting reflected in revenue?
I think you should not look in the quarter-on-quarter, because the first quarter in the distribution business, that is the peak of the quarter. And the quarter two, because of the onset of monsoon, the requirement comes down. So you have the units which would have come down in the normal course. And what did the last? So you should compare them quarter of this year versus the previous year, similar quarter, year on year. And if you see that, there's a substantial increase in the revenue. From 2479 crores, it has gone up to 3032, the operational revenue. And, similarly, if you see the distribution business, it has shot up from 1690 crores to 2164 crores. That's 18% hike in the revenues.
Understood. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Bharat.
Thank you. We now have a text question from our online participant. Is AEML expected to continue its S&P IG rating and what have been discussed with the agency, specifically on AEML rating going forward? Thank you.
Sure. So, yes, we are rated by all the three rating agencies. S&P came out with their rating rationale as late as in April. And therefore, there has been no, the rating continues as it is with S&P. We have been updating them with all the quarterly and the half-yearly numbers. And there has been rating rationale, as I mentioned, published by them in September, in April itself.
Thank you. Our next question comes from an online participant. Can you clarify the Maharashtra asset with working capital issue? I thought you said the working capital was related to a new transmission line, but however, obligor group assets are all operating for a long time. Thank you.
So we'll clarify this part. I think the increase in the data is around two fronts. One is the new assets which got commissioned in the state of Uttar Pradesh. They have seen an increase of 2 to 2.5 billion rupees in the financials. And also what we see, Maharashtra, when we see, we also have transmission assets which are beyond the AEML, the thing, which is NEGPTCL, 100% subsidiary of Adani Transmission. We have seen increase of close around 1.5 billion to 2 billion rupee in the data from the Maharashtra state, which we said that would get liquidated in quarter three, quarter four. So that is the clarification to the question.
Thank you. Our next question comes from an online participant. What is your view on balancing the interest of equity and bond investors? We have been prioritizing growth in the past. Do we have a timeline to reduce gross debt and debt leverage? Thank you.
I think in line what we have been communicating, we want to grow, but growth with credit discipline is what we have been talking about. You will have to see the history from when we were created from 2016 till 2022. The growth has been there, close to around 18% CAGR, and that growth has come with a very tight discipline on the credit side. I mean, we have been IG rated. Our bonds have been IG rated right from the inception. And to give the comfort to everyone, even the domestic rating agencies have rated two of our subsidiaries as AAA rated and the company as AA plus rated. So the credit discipline has always been there. So all what we can say is that our growth would happen, but not at the cost of the bondholders or deteriorating the quality of the credit what we have. So it would be within the contained framework in which we have been operating.
Thank you. We currently have no further questions.
Okay. Maybe we can take one last question. Yeah, maybe you can take one last question if there is anything. Otherwise, we are anyway approaching the end time. Okay. It doesn't seem like there's any further questions. So with that, thank you so much on behalf of the company and us for attending this call and your questions. We look forward to speaking to you soon.
Thank you, Akshay. Thank you for organizing this, and thank you to all the to the analyst friends, to the management team. Thank you. Good day.
Thank you.